I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer. I have a short message for you today. We'll continue in worship through song and baptism after this. But for fathers that are joining us, happy Father's Day. If you're joining us online, I see there's people all over the place joining us online today. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be doing this outside for the next 2 weeks. And so if you want to come join us in person next week, the 28th, or the week after, July the 5th, next week we'll be serving lunch. We're going to get through this series the next couple of weeks that we are in. We'll have baptisms every week as well if there are people who want to take that next step in their faith to be baptized. And so join us for that. We're going to be looking to see what we can or can't do for kids ministry. And we'd love to do something very soon for kids. And so we've been talking about what we can do. And so we'll let you know soon. We'll probably ease into kids ministry slowly. And so if you are a kid here today, will you wave at me if you're a kid? Kid, wave at me. Okay, kids, okay. We'll keep this a little bit fun for you too, because we know that you are here. And so we would love to have kids church for you again soon. I want to break out bouncy castles soon. So we'll find out if we can do that. How many of you would like that, to break out bouncy castles? Okay, good. We'll see if we can do that. Just spray them with immense amounts of Lysol and hand sanitizer. Okay, let's pray. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to just worship together today. It's been a while since we've worshiped together like this. God, I pray that you would speak to us, bless us, fill us with your spirit, give us peace, God. Lord, as we gathered here last Sunday evening with some other leaders and other churches for prayer and worship, that was a powerful time. And God, I want to echo what we prayed last Sunday. God, we're praying for healing in our nation, our body, our world. God, we're praying for peace amongst families, churches, businesses, communities, nations. God, we're also praying for reconciliation, that if there is someone or if there is a group that needs to be reconciled to another, I pray that we would find reconciliation through you. God, I thank you for forgiveness that only comes from you, and I thank you that you have reconciled us to a relationship with you. And so, God, there are many broken relationships. There are many broken pieces across this world today. And so we don't just want forgiveness. We don't just want healing. We don't just want peace, but we want to be reconciled to one another as you reconcile us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, worship team. So yeah, it's kind of awkward to speak outside. It's awkward. It's been awkward the last 3 months to speak just to a camera and then to like a very small group of people and now just to small groups of people outside. And so bear with us as we're doing church outside. If you have kids, they can run around, have fun. We're not worried about them distracting anybody. But I'd love for you kids, if you're here, to pay attention as well. I'm doing a series for 5 weeks called COVID Concerns. And over the last couple of weeks, I realized there's a lot of phrases I don't ever want to hear again after 2020. Social distancing is something I never want to hear again. The word Zoom is something I never want to hear again. I don't ever want to hear about, you know, contract tracing, masks, all this stuff. It's getting pretty overwhelming. And so despite wherever we stand on these things, I think we can all agree that, like, we're excited for this to be over. And one of the jokes that we've kind of been kicking around for a while is how excited we all were to head into 2020, that this was our year. You know, everybody was just stoked about 2020. And it's been quite the year. And I've just encouraged you last week to think, you know, maybe it is. And I actually believe God's doing something through this year. I know he is. He promises that he'll work all things together for good to those who love him and those who are called according to his purposes. And so I think we're going to see some good things. We may experience hard things, but I think we'll see good things as well. So this series we're doing is called COVID Concerns, and it's not to talk about COVID-19. It's not to talk about racial unrest within our nation. It's just to talk about things that have revealed themselves to us through this crisis that we're going through. And those are five things that we've been looking at. The first is fear. Many of the things we've experienced lately have been driven by fear, given by media, by politicians, by doctors, by family members, by friends, by business owners. And we've really been crippled by fear. And that doesn't in any way take away concern that we should have. Concern and caution are important, but the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us power and love and self-control. And so God gives us power over the things that could cause fear. He has given us love, which he says cast out all fear. And he's given us self-control. Where fear would try to control us, God gives us control in how we respond to the things that may bring fear. And one of the important things we mentioned was that oftentimes we pray for danger to be removed. You know, if the risk would be removed, if illness could be removed, if threats could be removed, if violence could be removed, then fear would be gone. But that's not how fear works. Fear is not erased when danger is erased. Instead, fear is actually subsided in the presence of someone else. And so in the presence of Jesus, there is peace, there is fullness of joy, there is freedom. And so that's why David says in Psalms 23 that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not be afraid because he is with us. And many of you, as children, if you're afraid of something, what you want is not just for the danger to be removed, but you just want your mom or your dad to be with you. Just the presence of someone else takes away the actual presence of fear. And so the presence of fear erased in the presence of God and in the presence of someone who loves you, because love casts out fear. Then last week, we looked at this idea that one of the other concerns that has revealed itself through this crisis and the crises that we're going through is that if we are not cautious, we could start to elevate the virtue of safety over risk. And I shared how I am someone from a generation called Generation X. Raise your hand if you're from Generation X. You're like born from like 1969 to 1980, Generation X. And so it's the best generation. And Generation X, like the thing that we were really just hammered home, at least to my generation, was that, you know, you got to take risk. And so many of you grew up or you went to work and you had posters of like bald eagles flying that say, yo, with great risk comes great reward. And so we were just instilled in our culture that we take risks in order to move forward, in order to move ahead. And now it seems like safety has become more important than risk. And we need to be safe. We need to be cautious. But I want to also encourage us to take risks. And this is where we kind of ended last week, that the greatest risk we could ever take is not the risk of dying, because we're all going to die. But the greatest risk we could ever take is the risk of not truly living and truly loving. And so the Spirit of God gives us power to take risks, to step out in spite of fear and in spite of danger to make an impact in the world. And so this week, I want to talk real briefly about another idea, and that's this idea of empires. And you could replace the word empires with nations. You could replace the word empires with governments, with political parties, with politicians, but this idea of empires. And so there's been a lot of empires throughout human history. And I'll kind of start off, and because there's kids here, I'll ask you kids to actually give some answers for me, okay? Because I want to make this interesting for you. And I'm looking at you, so you get ready to answer something. So empires. I can think of the empires of the world before the flood of Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think of empires like the Babylonian Empire. I can think of empires like the Egyptian Empire. How many of you, can any kids think of another empire that's existed throughout history? All right, Bentley? Star Wars Empire, yeah. That is the worst empire of all. Threatened the entire galaxy, yeah. Josh? Jesus? That's just the church answer. So think about it. Like, what are some empires throughout the world? There's Egypt, Babylon, Quinlan? Is that your name? Roman Empire. Yeah, the Roman Empire. Huge empire, right? It kind of actually still exists to some level today. Anything else? What else think of another empire that's existed? Babylonian, Roman, the empire. You got another one? The British. Yeah, the British. Yeah, British colonialism. British Empire. You're right. And so there's been British Empire, Persian Empire. There has been the Assyrian Empire. There's been the Aztec Empire. One more time, Josh. It can't be Jesus. An empire, yes. The Assyrians, Babylonians, Egyptians, Persians. How many know the Greek Empire? The Greek Empire. How many of you like the movie 300? Not kids, because you shouldn't watch that movie yet, but 300. That's like the Greeks versus the Persians and Sparta. And how many of you guys were the body double for the guys in 300? Yes, I was. So these are empires. And so what I've realized about some things that have revealed themselves both through COVID-19 and also through the racial crisis that we're experiencing today in our nation is that many people are looking to empires to solve our problems. Many people are looking to governments and countries and politicians to solve our problems. Just a couple examples would be with COVID-19, we've seen people both protest the government and we've seen people trust the government to keep us healthy. With the racial crises that are taking place in our nation, we've seen people, again, protest the government to make change. And those things are appropriate and good. And as people who live in this country, we have the right and the opportunity to vote, to run for office, to serve an office. How many of you would like to serve an office? No, not me. No. To serve an office, to vote, we have a right to protest and to seek to make change. But the thing that has revealed itself to me is that I'm only 40 years old, and I've never actually seen an empire make a really, really lasting change in the world. Empires, kings, emperors, armies, they don't make the lasting kind of changes that we're actually looking for. And so what's happened over the last 4 months, and it's been going on for the last 10,000 years, but that we're really starting to see this idea of like partisan politics, like this party versus this party, and this party is going to make things better, and this party's not, and my party's better, and yours is not. But here's, I want you to listen to the words of Jesus. He says something really interesting, and by no means am I saying you shouldn't, you know, vote for a party, but I think if your focus is on a party, you're going to find yourself very disappointed. John 18, Jesus says this. He's being tried before Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea. He's about to be sentenced to death, and Pontius Pilate asks him if he is a king, and Jesus says this. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. And so Jesus says, I've had thousands of followers. If my kingdom was of this world, we could have had insurrection. We could have mounted war. I could have called down the armies of heaven to wage war against the Jews or against the Romans. And he says, if so, my servants would have fought for me that I wouldn't be delivered. He says this, but my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. And so while we live in a physical world today that has real empires, that has real emperors and presidents and senators and congressmen and kings and dictators and all of these things, let's remember the words of Jesus. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. I've got something a little bit better in store. And so as Jesus was going to the cross before he was tried, his disciples actually said to him, actually, it was after the cross. It was after his resurrection. His disciples said, Jesus, is this the time where Israel is going to be restored? Is this the time where the kingdom of Israel is going to be made whole? Are we going to be the global superpower? And Jesus, basically simplify what he says, no, it's not about Israel. This is not about the Jews. This is not about worldly empires or kingdoms. He says, you guys need to focus on this, not who's going to be in charge in this world, but you need to focus on my spirit. He says, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and he's going to empower you to be my witnesses to the entire world. And so as Christians, if you feel led by the Spirit and your conscience allows you to run for office, then go for it. But that's not the ultimate solution. The ultimate solution is to be the emissaries, to be the witnesses of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the power of God's Spirit that ultimately makes changes in nations, in kingdoms, in empires, in all of these eras of time. It's God who is orchestrating all of these things. And so what we have done over the last 4 months and the last several thousand years is we have focused and fixed our eyes on emperors. And we fixed our eyes on empires instead of fixing our eyes on God's kingdom. And so listen to this passage of scripture from Psalm. David writes in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And so change is needed. Amen? Change is needed. Righteousness is needed. Justice is needed. All of those things are good and godly and holy and needed. But if we are trying to do those things on our own and by ourselves, we will never actually experience it. That's why 3,000 years ago, it's written in Psalm. Some people trust in armies. Some people trust in tanks, in bullets, in missiles, in bombs, in fighter jets to bring about peace. But those things, isn't it ironic that we wait for armies to bring peace? Those things aren't going to bring peace. We trust in God. We trust in God to actually bring about peace and to bring about change. And so no matter how many laws we pass, no matter how good or bad a government may or may not be, what I've learned, and I hope you can see it to some extent, is you can't actually legislate morality. You can't legislate righteousness. You can't legislate holiness. What that means is there's not a politician who's going to come and make everything right. There's no politician that's going to come and bring about perfect justice, perfect righteousness, perfect holiness. It's not going to happen because the Bible actually says that the more the law increases, oftentimes the more sin increases. So laws are good. We need laws. We need to enforce the laws that are made that we push for in this particular nation where we have a say in our laws. But the law itself, sometimes when people see a law, it actually tempts them to break that law. That's what the Bible says. When the law increased, so too did sin. And so sometimes just a law will make you break the law. How many of you see a speed limit sign and you're like, I think I can push that a little bit more, 20, 25 miles an hour? Like, it would be interesting to see if people would drive slower if there wasn't speed limits. And so we're tempted to push the laws that are in front of us because the law actually tempts us to sin against the law. And so the real change we're looking for is not going to come from a law. The real change we're looking for is not going to come from a president. It's not going to come from a senator, a dictator, or an earthly king. You see, the real change we're looking for is this, and there's our big point today. The real change we're looking for is a change in our heart. Unless our heart is changed, nothing will be changed. Unless you seek out God to change your heart, the world will never change. You might say, well, whose hearts need to be changed? And this is, again, a problem with this partisan politics. Yes, they need to have their heart changed. Or he needs to have his heart changed. Or she needs to have her heart changed. This entire nation or party needs to have their heart changed. And if that's how we think, we need to actually take that log out of our eye. Take the log out of our eye and quit pointing at the splinter in someone else's eye and say, God, if there's going to be peace, if there's going to be change, if there's going to be holiness, if there's going to be righteousness, if there's going to be justice, then let it start right here. Let it start in my heart, in a transformed heart, because Scripture promises us a new heart when we give our heart to Jesus. And so oftentimes people will surrender their lives to Jesus and they still do really stupid stuff. How many of you do really stupid stuff, even though maybe you've surrendered your life to Jesus? And that's because God's changing our heart. That's because this heart change is not this instantaneous change. It's this idea from glory to glory. God's changing us, making us better, conforming us to his image. And the more we would surrender our heart to him, the more he would change our hearts. And so if there's a prayer that you want to pray this week for our nation, for the world, for everything we're going through, why don't you just dedicate this week, God, change my heart. Change my heart. If there is anything wicked inside of me, would you take that out? If there's any prejudice, any sense of unrighteousness, any sense of unholiness or injustice, would you remove that from my heart and replace it with a heart that you have for other people? You see, if we have a heart like God has for us, a heart of unconditional love, then the world will begin to change as God's kingdom grows as a small seed in our heart and then begins to infect, so to say, the hearts of those around us. Because unless your heart changes, a nation can't change. Unless your heart changes, a kingdom can't change. Unless your heart changes, the world can't change. And let that change start with us within our hearts. And so in this year 2020, before COVID and before the things we're going through, I was going to put stickers up on our doors and on our website that said politic-free zone. And I was gonna design an image of a donkey and an elephant that just said "politic free zone" because every church is divided when it comes to politics, and that's fine. We need to be united when it comes to Jesus. And so it's ironic that here we are in a time that is causing this political tug and pull. And so with that being said, let me say, and don't cheer when I say this, okay? By the way, if you cheer, you're part of the problem, all right? Donald Trump is not going to bring the change that we need. Don't cheer. Joe Biden is not going to bring the change that we need. Don't cheer. Kate Brown is not going to bring the change that we need. The Republican Party is not going to bring the change that we're looking for. The Democrat Party is not going to bring the change that we're looking for. Fox News isn't going to bring the change that we're looking for. And NPR is not going to be the change that we're looking for. It's just not. Because, you know, it hasn't worked yet. It hasn't happened yet. That's not where real change is going to happen. They're never going to deliver what you want. And so here's what we're called to do. If you say, well, Pastor, I feel discouraged because I was really hoping that Biden or Trump would solve my problems. Neither of those men will. And so here is what Jesus tells us to do. And this is where we end this today. Matthew 6:33. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Well, you know, who should I be voting for? What t-shirt should I wear? What party should I back? You know, what rally should I go to support this particular party or candidate? And he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom, not the empires of this world, but seek first the kingdom of God and seek his righteousness. And like we said, it's not the righteousness for others. Oh, yeah, you know, Biden or Trump, they really need to seek the righteousness of God. No. It's about you. You seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first his righteousness. And then Jesus says, all these things will be added to you. All this stuff that you're concerned about and worried about, it's not going to be found in nations or states or counties or cities or empires or the kingdoms of this world. It's only going to be found in the kingdom of God. And when you seek him first and his righteousness, even if your life is taken away, even if your freedom is taken away, if your health is taken away, even if your rights are taken away, all these things will still be added to you. Because the things of God are so much greater than the things of this world. And things like justice and righteousness and holiness and peace and joy and love and mercy and patience, those are things that can only come from a kingdom, but they'll never come from an empire. They'll never come from an emperor. They'll only come from a king. So in this election year, did you know it was an election year? In this election year, would you please put kingdom of God over the empires of this world? Would you please put the king over emperors? And in everything you do, in every move that you make, in every action you take, in everything that you say, I want you to ask yourself, how can the kingdom of God grow in me? How can I seek God's kingdom first, his righteousness first, so that all these things can be added? Because it's not going to be found in empires or emperors, just the kingdom and a king. And Jesus is king. Jesus is the name that's above every name. And at his name, every knee will bow of every political party, and every tongue will confess in every nation that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So do you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, I thank you for your kingdom that's growing. Jesus, I thank you for all the stories you told of your kingdom, that it's like a seed that grows. It starts off small and then grows into something great. And so, Lord, even in the smallest ways, your kingdom begins to infiltrate our hearts, because that's where it starts. Would you grow your kingdom inside of our heart, so that your kingdom may expand? So God, we're here today to bring you glory and to advance your kingdom. We're not here today for recognition, and we're not here today to advance our own agendas, but we are here today to bring glory to you, our King, and to advance your kingdom, because your kingdom is the kingdom that's being built, being established, that you declared was here when you arrived, and it's growing into something great. And so, Jesus, in your own words, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, in your words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, we repent of any time that we have lifted up the United States of America, or where we have lifted up the Democrat or the Republican Party over your kingdom. We repent of that, because that's not your will, that's not your way. But instead, we lift up your name, which establishes the greatest kingdom the world has known, is knowing, and will know. So God, would you change our hearts, not our church's heart, not our country's heart, but our own heart. Would you change our heart? And would that change that we seek begin within us? A heart change, God, a heart transplant that we need. Lord God, I thank you for the calls for justice and the calls against things like racism. But God, if our hearts are not changed, those things will never change. And so, Lord, we pray for a change in our heart. God, as this world is crippled with fear, we pray that your love would cast out all fear. You'd give us power over fear. Give us self-control when a world of fear would try to control us. And I ask, God, in Jesus' name, that that would come through your kingdom, a kingdom without fear, a kingdom where safety of this life would not be our utmost virtue, but a kingdom that begins in our heart and makes change in the lives of those around us. So God, as someone spouts off or shouts or types or speaks to us an opinion that's different than our own, let our hearts that are filled with your kingdom receive what they have to say with love. A soft heart that would respond softly and empathize with emotions and feelings and thoughts and not be concerned about being right, but be concerned with doing what is right. To be concerned with bringing change and transformation of the heart. So Lord, we speak out and pray against fear. We ask by your Spirit that you'd give us boldness to take godly risks for your kingdom. And we also ask, Lord, that your kingdom would come. And we acknowledge today as a church, those who are joining from all over the world, that we would just acknowledge that the true change we want is not coming from our country. It's coming from your kingdom. And Lord, if there's anyone that does not know you today, anyone, Jesus, whom you are not their king, I pray in your name, Jesus, that you would convict them of their shortcoming. You'd convict them of their sin. Not condemn them, but convict them. Show them, God, their need for a Savior. Anyone that's watching or joining us online that does not know you, Jesus, I pray you'd show them their need for a Savior that can only be found in you. And God, I pray you'd give them faith to trust you. So Jesus, I thank you for living a perfect life with a godly heart that we could never live. I thank you for dying in our place the death that we deserve to die. I thank you, Jesus, for taking on the punishment for our sin upon yourself. Thank you, Jesus, for your resurrection, which brings life. Thank you, Jesus, that through your life, death, and resurrection, our sins can be forgiven, our relationship with you restored, and be given everlasting life in the power of your Spirit. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Jesus himself said, God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life. Your act does not need to be together to come to Jesus. Your life does not need cleaned up to come to Jesus. You can come to him as you are, and he'll receive you, he'll forgive you, he'll change you. It's just simply an act of trust and of faith. Your questions don't have to be answered. Your life doesn't have to be figured out, but it's just simply a cry for help. Jesus, I trust you. I'm trusting you. I'm committing my life to you because you're all I've got. So if that's you today, if you would like to surrender your life to Christ, you can do that right now, where you're watching from, where you're sitting, where you're joining us from. Just simply say, Jesus, I give my life to you. Jesus, I give you my life. I trust you, and I'm trusting you for a change in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song. As we sing this song, we'll kind of sing it for a little bit longer than normal because we're going to celebrate today through baptism. Baptism is something that we do as Christians, not because baptism makes you a Christian, not because baptism joins you to a church, or not because baptism forgives you of your sins or washes them away. It just, baptism shows that you belong to Christ. I have a wedding ring. 2 days ago was my 21-year wedding anniversary to that woman right there. So 21 years. You should clap for that because I had to put up with a lot for 21 years. Yeah. But I wear a wedding ring. This doesn't make me married. It just shows that I am married. And so too, just as baptism does not make us a Christian, we become baptized to show that we're a Christian. And the relevance of baptism is that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. And when we are baptized in water, it is an act of faith showing that our old life of sin is now dead with Christ and buried with Christ. And as we raise up out of the water, it shows that we have a new life in Jesus Christ. So as he lived, died, and rose again, we go in the water and rise up to show new life and that our sins have been washed away. And if you are following Christ and have yet to be baptized, we'll be doing this every week for the foreseeable future. And so if you'd like to be baptized on our app, it's FC Online, you can just sign up to be baptized. And we're just doing one baptism per week because of COVID, unless you're of the same household. And so we'll change the water every week, and we'll throw some bleach in for extra good measure. So if you'd like to be baptized, let us know. So Casey, you want to lead us in a song, and we'll celebrate through baptism here in a moment. And when the song is done and our baptism celebration is over, Trina's going to come and she's going to dismiss you and just encourage you to have a great Father's Day weekend. So God bless you guys.